Give just a moment for the kids in your aisles to head over to Junior Church and Children's Church, and then you can all have a seat. Please turn to Psalm 138 if you haven't already. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Later this week, just about everyone in this room is going to gather together for a time of food, fun, and fellowship with your family and close friends. The majority of us are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday. However, some of you may be celebrating a little bit later, a little bit earlier. Or, as we've noted already, some within our congregation are even celebrating today. For many families, Thanksgiving is a time of traditions. For some of you, if you're like my father, it's the tradition of getting up at 4:30 in the morning and putting that turkey in the oven. For some, it is the tradition of gathering around once a year at this huge dining room table and the chaos that ensues as you share in this feast together. For my family, personally, one of my favorite traditions is after all the food has been eaten. Because it's at this point where the men and the women split up. You see, the ladies stay upstairs and they finish taking care of the dishes. They clean up and they talk with one another. And the men with our full stomachs decide to go downstairs where we watch football and take a nap. Definitely one of my favorite parts of Thanksgiving each year. A close friend of mine, though, recently told me of his family's previous Thanksgiving tradition. He said they would all sit down at a huge dinner table together, and as they sat down at this table, they would hold hands and share what it is that they were thankful for before sharing together in a meal and praying and thanking God for that meal. Thanksgiving, I would say, is probably one of the few times that we still have where we take just a break from our busy lives and we reflect on exactly everything that it is that we're thankful for. As we have sung and as we have heard from the praise team this morning, we have sang and we have thought about things that we can be thankful for. So that's the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning. What are you thankful for this year? Now, as we turn to this psalm, as we turn to Psalm 138, this morning we find ourselves at the beginning of the collection of, or the final collection of David's psalms within the Bible. That goes from Psalm 138 to Psalm 145. And as we open up this psalm this morning, we see David reflecting on his life, as he so often does within the Psalms, but this time it's a little bit different. Because as we reflect through the Psalms this morning, we don't exactly see or know the background of the text. We don't know what's going on in David's life. But yet, as we look at this text of Scripture and we ask ourselves that question this morning, what am I thankful for? We can clearly see from David's words and from his example specifically what we should be thanking God for this morning. And David, what he does really is he shares two characteristics of God throughout the text. The first is this, that the God whom you and I are worshiping this morning is the God of constant love. He is the God of constant love. And as he is the God of constant love, David first shares with us how we should be praising God as he says this. Number one, we are to praise God with our whole heart. Look there at verse 1. It says this, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. David begins this psalm by thanking God with his whole, or with his entire heart. Now, as I read that, the question that comes into my mind is this. What does it mean, then, to praise God with your whole heart? Is this something that I'm already doing? Is this something that requires a lot of practice? How do I praise God with my whole heart? Well, as we continue to read through verse 1, it tells us exactly how David was going to be praising God. He said, "Before the gods I sing your praise." So as David shares within this text, he shares with us that what he's referring to when he uses the word gods, he's referring to either one of two things. Either he's referring, first of all, to the pagan royalty, to the kings and queens of the day, or he's referring very specifically to those gods that they were worshiping. Now, here's what that means. It didn't really matter who was watching David. He was going to be praising God. Despite the circumstances, despite who was watching, David's heart was set on praising God. He did so within a way that no matter who was looking, that no matter what was going on, he was going to be praising God. He had a wholehearted devotion towards God. Now, if we were to think just for a moment about the life of David, I believe we could pretty easily come up with some times within David's life where we saw this to be true. Take, for example, when David was a young man and David stood next to the giant Philistine Goliath. David literally was taking on a task that no grown, experienced soldier would have taken on. And 1 Samuel 17 shares with us that as David went forward, and as he was about to fight Goliath, he shared with him that the fight was the Lord's, and that despite his small stature and despite his uninspiring weaponry, the Lord would give Goliath into the hand of his people. In fact, in verses 46 and 47 of the text, it tells us that David says that this would happen so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with a sword and a spear. Even in the face of David's enemies, he praised God. Fast forward now to 1 Corinthians. In chapter 29, as David stands before the assembly in the temple, right before Solomon is anointed king near the end of his life, David is standing at the temple with some of his closest friends and allies, and he praises God, saying, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all." It didn't matter if it was in the midst of his friends or in the midst of his enemies, David praised God. And yet, as we look into David's personal life as well, as we study and examine the Psalms, which were so often David's personal writings as he was going through great trials, conflicts, or blessings, we see exactly that, the same love, adoration, and praise towards God. It didn't matter if he was in the face of his enemies, his friends, or if it was private, David was praising God. He had a wholehearted praise towards God. As we look at David's life, it's pretty clear that we can see that he was a man who wholeheartedly praised God, no matter who was watching. But as we examine ourselves then, let's ask ourselves this question. When others look at my life, do they look at my life much like they would David's? Do they see me praising God, no matter who's watching? Do they see me, as David did, praising God within the temple or within my local church body? Do my enemies to those who hate and despise what I stand for, who give me great adversary, see my wholehearted praise to God in front of them. If others were to look down in the depths of my heart and see what it was that I thought and what I and where my heart was when no one else is looking, would they see praise to God in the most private portions of my life? What would they see? And our example that we see from David is that we need to have a wholehearted thanks and praise to God, regardless of what time of the year it is, regardless of the circumstances or who is watching us. We have to be thankful and to be praising God continuously and always. Now, as David continues throughout the text, he now basically gives us an instruction manual of things we can praise God for. And we see that first as David tells us that we should thank God for His love and faithfulness. We should thank God for His love and faithfulness. He continues in verse 2 telling us this, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. And on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul increased. David shares that God is worthy to be praised in the manner that which God would want to be praised. And he says, I bow forward towards your holy temple. And God, I give thanks to you for your steadfast love and faithfulness. We could define that word steadfast this way. Steadfast means that it is resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. David praises God because he has a firm and unwavering love for David, one of his children. Because God's love is a perfect love. And you see, because as we study and as we understand the character and nature of God, we learn and understand this. God loves his children perfectly. Literally, God loves you in a way that no one else could even come close to loving you. As God loves you perfectly, He loves you so much that He couldn't love you any more or any less. But not only that, His love for you is a faithful love. It's the type of love where He could not stop loving you even for a second. It's a perfect, complete love that is unlike any type of love that we could imagine. And as David thanks God for His love and His faithfulness, he thanks Him not only that it is a perfect love, but that it's an eternal love. That's a love that will continue on and on and on throughout eternity. A.W. Tozer puts it this way in a quote that I really love. He says this, an infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there was no others. If you are sitting here this morning and you're a child of God, you have put your trust and faith in Him. God loves you as if you are literally the only person who has ever walked the face of the earth. God loves you as if you were the only one of His children. He loves you completely and fully in a way that no one else can. And He loves each and every single one of His children with the same type of love. That is something we're thanking God for. But yet, although God, as God loves His children, and David responds to that love by praying to God, David shares with us that although God loves man, there's still something that He exalts above man. And that, as he concludes and goes into verse 4, he says this, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing the ways of your Lord, of the Lord. Now, why will they do that? Because, as we see in verse 2, because God has exalted above all things His name and His word. Next, we see this morning, that we are to thank God for revealing His glory to the lowly. We are to thank God for revealing His glory to the lowly. And although we see that God loves us a whole awful lot, we see that He is to be exalted above all. And as we just read, that exaltation of God is going to come literally through every single person who has ever walked the face of this earth. For great is the glory of the Lord. At the end of verse 5, verse 6 says this, for though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly. But the haughty, He knows from afar. We're to thank God for revealing His glory to the lowly. God's name is to be exalted at such a high level so that all the kings and all the rulers of this world and the glory that they see fails in comparison to the glory of God. Now, as we would think just over world history for a moment, as we think of many leaders, world leaders of the day, there's a whole lot of people who a whole lot of people like and dislike. There's a whole lot of people who we could think of that receive a whole lot of glory and praise. But all of the praise and all of the glory that are combined by these leaders will fail in comparison to God. Oh, but not only that, but as this text shares with us, that these people are going to have to bow the knee and they are going to have to give thanks to God. But not only are they going to give thanks to God, for great is His glory, but they're going to sing of the glory of the Lord. So imagine for yourself the current world leaders of today. There's going to be a day where Barack Obama, where Vladimir Putin, where yes, even Donald Trump are bowing the knee and pray and singing praise to God if they are true believers. Why? Because He is worth the praise and the glory. But then, David shares with us that God has a high regard still for a certain type of individual. And God regards the lowly. He has high regard for them. But the haughty, He knows from afar. Now, as David is speaking here, I think it's pretty clear that we could make it an assumption that as David is speaking of those who are lowly, it's very safe to assume that David would be one of those whose character would put him in this category. David was a man who I would consider to be lowly. He didn't think of himself very much. And God has great regard for those who think of themselves as little and Him as great. This is a constant theme that we see again and again throughout the Scripture. As I have had the opportunity to teach Sunday school, adult Sunday school class here, the class that I've been teaching is going through the book of 1 Corinthians. So about 3 weeks ago, we finished 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is very specifically speaking of spiritual gifts. And as Paul is speaking of spiritual gifts there and their role within the church body, he shares with us that every believer is vital within their role within the church body. And those weaker, those individuals who have those gifts that we would consider weaker or less important, those who we would consider to be low, actually are to be held in a higher esteem than those who we would consider to have the greater gifts. God gives great regard to those who fill out these small, often unseen roles within both the local and the universal church body. That's again echoed here within the text. And we're to thank God that He reveals His glory and that He uses these people who are low and say, I'm not very much, but God is great and He's worth serving. We're to thank God for those people who are humble and take care of what needs to be done, no matter what position that they're in, no matter if they are a king like David, no matter if they are the lowest ranked individual within the church body. If they are low, and if they think of themselves little, and they think of God much, He has great regard for them. In contrast, those who are haughty, He seems to know from afar. Or those who are haughty, He distances Himself away from. So as we apply this to our own lives this morning, I think it's important that we be thankful for that God reveals His glory to the lowly. That we be thankful for those that we know whom God would regard as lowly. Those who are humble and take care of what needs to be done. But I don't think we should simply just stop there by being thankful for these people. But we need to try to be these people. And we need to try to be them in every single area of our life. Because as we examine David here, it's very clear that we can see that as we examine his life, his wholehearted praise to God could be seen in every single aspect and area of his life. Now, that can be easier in some ways and harder in others. Let me give you an example in my personal life where this is very difficult. One of the ministries that I am blessed to have the opportunity to serve in here at the church is the benevolence ministry. If you don't know much about the benevolence ministry, a long story short, is the benevolence ministry that we have here is where we seek to help people who come in that are in need. Mostly this comes in the need of financial donate, or they need have financial needs. Sometimes there are some other needs as well. But many of the people that come in are outside of our local church body. Now, we do help some of those who need help within the church who request help as well. But you see, we have a blessed opportunity here that so often I unfortunately see as just a pain. And that's this. We have a really, really, really great church property location. We have such a good location that as literally coming off the gateway to the city, right off 23 here into our building, we receive, I would say, probably more than most other churches in town, people coming in looking for help. They're hitchhiking. They see our building coming off. Well, maybe the church will come in here and help me. They are coming through town. We're the only Bible church in the phone book. They'll come in and they'll ask for help. Now, we do the best that we can not to get too technical to vet this process. We have the people come in, they fill out some paperwork, they schedule an appointment, and they come in and meet with me. And too often I find that as I talk with these people, I do not meet and talk with them in a position that's very low. Too often I am that haughty personality that David says that is known from afar to God. Because so often as these people come in and as they tell you your story, what I have found after a while is that the stories just kind of blend in. Or that it's the same problems over and over and over again. Now I noticed at first as I was given this task and as I was given the opportunity to hand out these funds towards people, I would give a little bit more money than I do now. I would give them a little bit more help, a little bit more assistance than I do now, because so many times my heart now has grown hard towards the situations. What do I mean by that? Well, it seems like so often when a young lady comes in, the situation's the same. She comes in having one or multiple children with a guy who's on drugs and no longer in the picture. She doesn't have her high school education and she can't get a job. and the food stamps aren't being able to take care of her family. So often I find that the man who comes in, who's middle-aged, comes in because he's recently coming out of prison, and because there is no help that he can receive here within the county for shelter, because it's all for women and children. So often the person that comes in does so seeking disability help, thinking that once the government finally allows them to be able to get that disability check, that they're going to be good to go. And as you see these stories over and over and over again, your heart gets hard to it. And I can account so many times as these people have left, going back and talking to Emily, or going back and talking to someone, thinking, this person really messed up their life. It's their fault. They should have known better. Now, at those times, I'm not being very low. In fact, the part that I dislike the most is this. So often as these people come in, they have a very certain distinct smell to them. And that's the smell of cigarette smoke. Now, I have some close family members who smoke. I know what the smell smells like. But it seems like so many of these folks at times often come in smelling like they just walked out of a bar full of cigarettes. And after they leave, I have to walk over to the office, grab the Febreze, spray down my office, spray down the hallway, spray down every single place that needs to be sprayed down, because it stinks. And I have a bad opinion, I have a bad attitude of these people whom God loves a whole awful lot. As God looks and examines my heart, during this time, he is not regarding me as lowly. My pride slips in, and although I wouldn't say it, I think to myself, I'm a whole lot better than these people because I haven't made that mistake. But yet, if I really look back and think about what God's Word tells me and what I've learned from the Scriptures, I know this, that these same people are made in the image of God. Of God Almighty. And that these same people, I should be thanking God for the opportunity to talk to. I should be thanking and be humbled that God would allow this church body and me specifically to have the opportunity to be able to speak truth within their life. That I would have the opportunity to share the gospel with them and to invite them here to church. Because where else would I want them to be? Yet, as God works and prunes in my life, there are areas such as that, and there are areas like that that you can examine within your own heart that say, I'm not very low there. I do not have a high regard for God there. I've got a very high view of myself. Not a very high view of God and what he can do within the heart and soul of this individual. We have to remember that God cares for these people. Because, point number one, he's the God of constant care. But point number two, I'm sorry, he's the point of God of constant love. But secondly, he's the God of constant care. The God whom we thank this morning is the God of constant care. Let's read verses 7 and 8 together. The text tells us this. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. David closes saying this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Next, we must thank God for his protection. Thank God for his protection. As we examine David's life, it's pretty clear that we can see that he was a guy whom God's hand of protection was clearly on. We've already recounted the event of him slaying Goliath. Think of other events, such as him running from Saul, hiding and evading his enemies, causing him to pen the words such as this, "You stretch out my hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me." God protected David again and again, and I'm just going to assume that there are a whole lot of other instances where that happened that aren't recorded in Scripture based off David's status as an individual and based off who he was. God was clearly working in protecting David. But yet, as David clearly saw God's protection within his life, as we reflect again this morning within our own lives, I believe we could pretty clearly see God's protection in our lives as well. Literally, as you're sitting here this morning, it's a miracle. Because just looking throughout this church body, we can think of many individuals who have suffered through major medical issues, and yet they're sitting here with us this morning. Some of you have given testimony of near-death experiences that you've been through, where you clearly saw God's hand of protection. We've seen God's hand at work clearly here within the church body. And we see how He continually protects us. Why? Because He's the God of constant care. There's not one second that goes by where He's not protecting you, where He's not caring for you, where He's not loving you. Now, why is that? Because He still has a purpose for your life, and that's the next thing that we see. That we're to thank God for His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Ultimately, that purpose is to give glory to Him. And David closes out his psalm by saying that the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Now, as we think of our purpose in life, I really like the way that Charles Spurgeon puts it. He says this, "God is concerned in all that concerns His servants. He will see to it that none of their precious things that shall fail of completion. Their life, their strength, their hopes, their graces, their pilgrimage shall each and all be perfected. Jehovah Himself will see to this, and therefore it is most sure." God is the God of constant care, and God cares about all the things that you care about. And He is using those things. He is allowing the things that He is allowing within your life to fulfill the purpose that He's got for you. To glorify Him. To make His name known forever. And we are to thank God for that purpose that He has for His life, for our lives. Because that purpose is a whole lot better, it's a whole lot greater than anything that we could ever imagine. God will fulfill His purpose for your life. And as Spurgeon tells us here, He's going to do so within a way where there's no strings left over. He's going to take care of every string, of every loose thread, of every loose end. It's going to be taken care of in a way that even as we pass from death unto life, even as we die, we know this, that God's purpose has now been fulfilled in my life as a believer. And now He's got greater and better things for me. Believer, know and thank God for this, that He will fulfill the purpose that He has for you. He has to. It would be against His nature for Him not to do so. And God, being God, can't do that. So since I know that God will fulfill His purpose for my life, since I know that, as David mentioned here, that God's steadfast love is going to endure forever, I have to say, as David did, do not forsake the work of your hands. I have to say that God, although I may not like it, God, although it may not be what I have planned, You, in Your perfect wisdom, in Your perfect sovereignty, in Your perfect plan, are working out this purpose in my life. And since You're doing that, everything is a gift. everything is a gift worth thanking God for. Or as David says, God, don't forsake the work of your hands. God, don't quit doing what it is that you're doing. We need to be thanking God for every gift that we sends our way, not simply the gifts that we like. We can do so as we pray to God and we thank Him. Maybe you can do so by saying something like this: God, thank you for the gift of provision. God, thank you that you are providing for all of my needs. God, thank you for the job that I love. Thank you for providing a home for me to live in, for family who loves me, for people to live with. God, thank you for this gift. God, thank you for the gift of my children, whom are my greatest earthly joy. God, thank you for this gift. God, thank you for the gift of my church. Thank you that there are people here whom I can have an authentic and true Christ-centered relationship with. God, thank you that I've been able to establish roots here and that I'm a necessary part of this body and that people care for me. God, thank you. God, thank you for the gift of my freedom. Thank you that I live in a country where I can talk about you, where I can worship you, where I can do so in a manner and I can be completely free in doing so. God, thank you that no one is going to knock down my door and tell me what it is I can and can't believe. Thank you for this gift. God, thank you for the gift to wake up today to be in good health. Thank you that I can get out of bed, that I can go about my day, and that I have the opportunity to praise you for it. God, thank you. God, thank you for the gift of my difficult coworker. Thank you that you're working patience in my life through this individual. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to share Christ-like love with them. God, thank you for this gift. God, thank you for the gift of allowing me to struggle financially. Because, God, I know through this gift that I have the opportunity to have a greater understanding that you are the provider of all things. God, thank you. God, thank you for the gift of this loss that I am experiencing in my life. Because it's through this gift of this loss that I know that you are the creator and the sustainer of all things. God, thank you. God, thank you for the gift of singleness, because it's through this loneliness, this gift of loneliness, that I have learned to have a greater dependence on you, the God who constantly cares. God, thank you for the gift of losing my spouse. God, although I loved this person deeply, God, I know that you have completed your purpose for their life. And God, I know that through this loss, you're using this gift to complete your purpose through me. God, thank you for this gift. You see, we have to praise God for every gift. We have to thank Him for every gift, not simply the ones that we like. Because as He is fulfilling that purpose, as He is working, He's doing so in a way that we have to know and understand that each and every gift comes from Him. So how do we apply this piece of Scripture for our life this morning? First of all, let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. Number one, this: is your life characterized by wholehearted praise to God? Let's elaborate on that a little bit. Has this wholehearted praise been seen by others around you? If others would look at your life in your local church context, in your job context, as enemies look at your life, do they see this wholehearted praise to God? Do they see you clearly praising God despite circumstances, despite what's going on, despite relationships? Do they see this? As you had the opportunity this week to sit at the Thanksgiving table around many family members who are unsaved, who don't know the Lord, are they going to see your wholehearted thanksgiving and praise to God? Or are they going to say, this person really doesn't act any differently than I do? Are they going to see through that difficult time that you're dealing with, praised be to God? Are they going to see you blessing and thanking God for the difficult times? As your enemies seek to go after you, to harm you, to defame your name, are they going to see wholehearted praise to God despite the circumstances? As they look at the journal and the personal parts of your life that they can't normally see, are they going to see wholehearted praise to God, or are they going to see something much, much different? As believers, it's pretty easy a lot of the time to get into a mindset where we're just getting through the day and we're not thanking and praising God for every gift that comes our way. So number three, we have to do this. We have to constantly remind ourselves that the God whom we love, that the God whom we serve, is that God of constant love. That He loves me completely, faithfully, eternally. That He can't love me anymore. That He can't love me any less. That it would not be of God for Him to do so. And He can't do that. Not only, though, does He love me, but He cares for every intimate need that I have in a greater way than I can ever understand. And I need to thank Him for that. Finally, we are to thank God for every gift, every single one, because they all come directly from Him and are used to fulfill the purpose that He has for our life. Let's go to God this morning and thank Him. God, as we conclude our time together this morning, as we remember these truths that we find in Your Word, and as we see the example of Your servant David, it's humbling. It is difficult to have this wholehearted praise. It is difficult to have a true knowledge and understanding that You are good in all things and that everything that You send our way is a gift. God, I pray that not only during this holiday season, but every day, that we would be seeking to make these truths known. That it wouldn't just simply be a couple days of reflection and thanksgiving for what You've given us, but that would be an everyday priority. That we would be thanking You through the difficult times, through the good times, and God, just through the times of the regular everyday stuff of life. May we be thankful people. But God, most importantly, may we be thankful for the gift of Your Son, as was sung about earlier today, because it's through that gift that we can have a relationship with You. It's through that gift we can have peace and knowledge of the truth. God, may the gospel message, may the truths that we find in it fuel us, empower us, and allow us to be thankful in all things each day for all things, are to fulfill Your purpose for our lives, which is to bring Yourself the ultimate glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.